pretty weird words, aren't they? Yeah. They are little angels or big angels. I don't know. The other one that used to get me when I was a kid was art, wort, and whatever the other one was. Sounded like varieties of polony. I was a kid. And we used to smile and laugh about things, and in the next verse, holy, 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 it was all together. And that's the wonderful thing about God, his holiness. It's not like we think of holiness. His holiness is welcoming. It's warm, it's beautiful, it's awesome, it's scary, it's comforting. It's all of those things, isn't it? Matthew chapter 7. We're getting there. We're in the last chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. Some of you have had all your children while we've been going through these few chapters. Matthew chapter 7, about something that is one of the truths of the Gospels that people find most distasteful. And it is something which God reserves for himself the right to be, and he forbids Christians to practice. And that is judge, being the judge. Verse 1 says, don't judge, or judge not, I think, in the old King James Version, doesn't it? What does Jesus mean by this term, judge? It's important that we distinguish or at least look at the word. First of all, when Jesus is using this word, he's talking about judging others. I think that's really what Jesus is talking about here. And of course, as Dennis said, the introduction, which isn't inspired anyway, but it talks about on judging others. My translation actually says, don't judge people and you won't be judged yourself. And obviously the context of it makes it very, very clear. Judging another human being is different to judging behavior. Jesus is not talking about judging things like abuse, lying, adultery, hatred, gossip, backstabbing, slander. No, all those things the Bible is very, very clear. Do we judge rightly about those things? In fact, it says in the scriptures that we are to have nothing to do with things like that. In fact, they're not even to be mentioned amongst us. Jesus is clearly talking about not judging people. The second thing I think we need to think about with this word judge is that usually when we judge another human being, we're doing a lot more than just determining if their actions are right or wrong. We are saying something about them as a person, aren't we? When someone judges another, they usually also criticize, they usually also condemn them. And in different ways, they can communicate that through to them. Doesn't even necessarily have to be a word, it can be a look. It can be an avoidance. In the eyes of the person who judges another, that person is also a bad person. It's not just that they've done something bad or that what's happened has had a bad impact. It becomes personal. So Jesus says very clearly to us, don't judge people. Okay, why does Jesus forbid us to judge another human being. Firstly, human beings have one judge, and that judge is God alone. To judge another human being is to play God. Paul writes in Romans, the day when, according to the gospel that I proclaim, he says, God judges all human secrets through Christ Jesus. And in Timothy, he says to Timothy, this is my solemn charge to you, Timothy, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead. So, to judge another human being is to play God. Also, to be the judge of another human being, you need to be able to see into the heart of the person that you are judging. Obviously, we cannot see into someone else's heart as others cannot see into our heart. They don't know what our intentions were, even if our actions are such. They don't know what the motivations are. And we don't know what the motivations of those other people is either. We don't know the intentions. We don't know the desires. We don't know the thoughts that are going on. But God can and does. So we cannot be the judge. See what he says here. Verse 2, you'll be judged, you see, by the judgment you use to judge others. You'll be measured by the measuring rod that you use to measure others. What if people judged us by the standards that we judge them? That's what he's saying there. Hebrews 4 talks about the power of God's word being able to penetrate right into our hearts, isn't it? Verse 12 of chapter 4, God's word is alive, you see. It's powerful and it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It can pierce right in between soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It can go straight to the point of what the human heart is thinking or intends to do. No creature remains hidden before God. All are naked and laid bare before the eyes of the one to whom we all must present an account. To judge someone means we need to be able to see into their heart, and also to judge someone would mean that we would have to be perfect. We disqualify ourselves by our own clear, obvious imperfections, don't we? And like Jesus said, if God judged us the way we judge others, but he doesn't. He judges us truly. He sees truly. He sees clearly. His judgments are right and good, as it says in the scriptures. Romans 3 says it about 100 times. No one is right. No one is in the right. No one is righteous. Not anyone at all. So there's no one who qualifies to be the judge of others, because none of us are perfect. And so you see, we all will need to repent of our own judging. And I'm just dealing with Matthew 7. I'm not thinking of anybody in particular. I mean, that would be wrong of me to... I'm thinking of me. I'm thinking of the open honesty that God is expecting of me to look at myself. If I am going to judge anyone, judge myself. But I need to judge myself as you need to judge yourselves by God's standard of judgment. But on the one hand, it seems as if it makes it absolutely impossible, because it's Have we been like Christ? But his judgment is always there with the mercy. Why do you stare at the splinter in your neighbour's eye, he says, and say to your neighbour, here, let me get that splinter out of your eye, when you've got a dirty great plank in your own eye. I added that. You're just play-acting, or your translation may say hypocrites. First of all, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly enough to take the little splinter out of your neighbour's eye. You see, because judging another person is sin, and it involves pride, it'll destroy us. It'll certainly destroy our testimony to be a judger of others, especially if people know it, feel it, think it, believe it. It'll be a hindrance for people to see the Lord Jesus in us. And while we fight it and remain unrepentant, then we are not, we put it stronger than that. We have no right then to judge the things that we need to be judging, and that is the things, the actions. See, Jesus, as I said earlier in the thing, there's so many things in our world that we need to judge as right or wrong and deal with those things. People is not part of that. Actions, behaviours, yes, but people themselves, in and of that, that's where we leave that to the Lord. But there are some things that we need to judge. And we all know that, you know, intolerable idea of, oh, well, I never said anything to him because, I mean, I'm not perfect. I know what he was doing with those boys, or I know what was going on. I know, you know, that he said that about that person and all, but who am I to say anything to them? You know, that kind of thing is, don't read this as that. I think a lot of people do. You see, the thing is, if we stay sort of unrepentant for that, of our own sort of, it's kind of what we do. We'll either become very passive about injustice, because we'll think, oh, well, yeah. Or we'll become very hypocritical about others in the midst of all of that. So, humility's necessary. We do need to help each other. We do need to recognise that we are imperfect. It's not a matter of just everybody doing their own thing, what's right in their own eyes, and forgetting about any kind of responsibility to anybody else. That would be a disaster. And we're seeing that happening right across the world. You can do whatever you like, but then there's some things. Oh, that suddenly, oh, you get jumped in on here. You know, like we talked about a while ago. You know, the cricket captain who damages a cricket ball will be plastered all over the newspapers. But the footballer who damages a woman will have their court case postponed until after the AFL season's finished. And they will get the best lawyers on the thing. There's so many things like that, isn't there? You know, people having affairs here and there, and it just all depends on whether the media want to nail this one or that one, and, you know, for all these other sorts of reasons. So we're seeing all of that in the world. Don't let us also see it in the church. This world, this society, has had it up to about here with religion. We're not about religion. We're about relationship with God. Responsible relationship with God, which brings us into a responsible relationship with one another. So this judging is hard to swallow. We need that humility, you know, to know who we are, to be very careful in those areas where we may need to make some sort of a judgment about something. And if we're in leadership, and that can mean a lot of different things, it could be parents, it could be an older brother or whoever, as well as sort of more formal kind of leadership, there will be times when we'll have to exhort one another. There'll be times when we will have to, out of our love for God, our love for one another, our love for the very person ourselves, to exhort them, to say, listen, brother, listen, sister, that's hurting that person. Don't do that. Don't say that. Or whatever it might be. This conversation is going in the wrong direction. Or whatever it might be. There is that time for exhorting one another. But all we do it so, not gently necessarily, sometimes it has to be firm, but we do it carefully because we know who we are. So Jesus is making sure that we understand our responsibility to be a judge is only in those that doesn't get into the judging of people. And we need to be wise in our exhorting one another as well, in the areas where we are able to do that with humility. We need to be wise because the last verse there says, don't give holy things to dogs. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they will trample them under their feet and then turn around and attack you. Isn't that so true? We need to be wise because there are some who we may seek very genuinely and very honestly and very sincerely to be helping in this sense of exhorting or encourage them to see that this action is hurtful or whatever. Some people don't have any kind of understanding of their actions. And they just trample the truth that you try to share, and then often they will turn and attack the messenger because they don't want to face the message in that sense that's there. So Jesus puts that sort of qualification, I suppose, or that pause there. Don't give holy things to dogs. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. And it's in the context that he's talking about here. You see, the person with the dirty great plank in their eye has a responsibility to help the other person get the speck out of their eye. That would just be kind. The point is, they can't do that until they deal with that which they're not even dealing with in their own life. I'm sure they laughed when they thought of some guy walking around with a dirty great big plank stuck in there. You know what a plank is? You ever seen that British comedy movie, The Plank? You know, sometimes we run into people like that, don't we? Oh, just another plank. And they just knock us over as they swing and turn with their dirty great big plank. But once we deal with that, then we can go and do the gentle, helpful work of, here, let me help you. That's the washing one another's feet, really, that Jesus talks about in John 13. Let me help you. There's something here that I can help you with. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know that you're in a family where the people around you love you too much to let you just suffer on. But let's be careful where we see the guidelines that God gives us. How do you work all that out? That's what we've got the scriptures for, to see God gives us those guidelines that's there. So our last song today is Show Me Your Ways. And we're going to sing